Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adesk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, June 23rd, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, a little pressure on gold today. Big move in the dollar, but gold today down 840 at 1178.50. We had a high of 1188. Silver down 35 at 1592. Broke down. It was high all day. We had a high of 1625. Really didn't break into the $15 level until really in the last part of trading. Platinum was up $6 at 1070, and palladium was also up a dollar at 699. USDX today, as I mentioned, was up big today, 1.13 at 95.49, and crude oil was up almost 80 cents today, making it 61.17. And, of course, the markets are still cheering, or what they believe is a possible Greece agreement. They're all agreeing to disagree. But you have the Dow up 24 points at 18,144. The NASDAQ was up 6 at 5160. The S&P up 1 at 2124. 10-year yield 0.05, 2.41, creeping up a little bit. A lot of pressure on the euro, of course, seeing that strength in the dollar. What were we to expect? 1.112 down 160. European markets... Japan seems to be the biggest winner, up 388 points, almost 2%. And the London and Germany and the European markets are pretty much about what the U.S. markets were able to manage today. Actually, they did a little bit better than the U.S. markets. Kind of like a relatively quiet day. I mean, it's hard to say it's a quiet day when there's just tons of things going on. I mean, you still have the Middle East going crazy. Supposedly, they killed the guy that masterminded Benghazi. He's been wiped out in Syria, so they say. And
how would they really know?
Well, yeah. It was just to make Benghazi seem like it was taken care of, and that gives it lessens Hillary's baggage a little bit, I think, to Benghazi. But and you're right. How would they know? Obviously, their intel wasn't that great, or Benghazi would have happened, wouldn't have happened anyway. So,
yeah, no, that's a good question. They could have Benghazi, and they could find out afterwards who was responsible. I understand that. But I wonder, you know, this is the sort of thing, I don't know if they actually killed anybody. You know, I'm not even sure, is there really war going on in the Middle East, Melody, or do we just hear reports about war? You know, obviously, I believe that there's a war going on. That's kind of a silly question, but there is something happening in the world where, can you really be sure of the reports you're getting?
Well, I mean,
there's so much disinformation, you know. Where do you say, oh, I trust this information? Not easily done anymore.
No, it isn't. And that's why, folks, that's why you have to read multiple news reports. You just can't focus on, you know, one magazine or one news report to tell you, you know, what is going on. And there's several. You have to get involved in foreign
sources.
Foreign reporting? Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's another point also. You know, given the government's influence on the mainstream media, the probability of getting the truth out of the biggest mainstream media outlets is somewhat diminished. They're going to give you the spin. Now, it doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to get the truth out of the smaller outlets, but it may be that there's a higher probability. Right. At least you're going to get something where a reporter, a journalist, stands up and he says, this is what I think is going on. He'll give you some facts, and he connects the dots in a way that you or I might not agree with, but nevertheless, he's giving you the facts. He may come to a different conclusion in some of his reports, but at least it might be an honest conclusion rather than the party line. And the mainstream media, I mean, Brian Williams, I don't know. How many times is he telling us the truth? How many times is he telling us what he thinks the truth might be? How many times is he telling us what the government wants him to tell us? Smaller operators aren't subject to that same level of influence. There's a better chance that you might get some truth out of them, maybe by intent, maybe by accident. But the big outlets, NBC, ABC, CBS, can you really trust them?
We can trust Brian Williams.
Today,
you know, it's amazing. Here you have Donald Trump. He surges in popularity in New Hampshire, takes the second place in a poll. And, of course, he is the most disliked of the GOP candidates in the field. And I guess he filed his paperwork with the Federal Elections Commission's Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's interesting to see him gain ahead of, you know, the Scott Walkers, the Rubios,
yep.
You know, he's second behind Bush. But it's even amazing Bush is number one. I mean, so this whole poll doesn't really say a whole lot,
does it? There's still fluoride in the drinking water. As long as we can tell that, this is the fluoride indicator. If how is Jeb Bush doing in the polls, and we can judge whether there's enough, too much, or not enough fluoride in the drinking water.
But again, it's just I don't know. It's just kind of a comparison of what everything else is going on, and you know whether he'd be a good president or not still remains to be seen. But he's certainly talking the talk anyway, and people are liking what they're hearing.
You're talking about Donald Trump. I understand. Why do people like what we're hearing from him? Because we have the impression he might tell us the truth.
Yeah.
I don't mean that it's going to be just, hooray, happy days are here again, but the man might actually deal with us as if we were adults and say, you can handle the truth, and even if you can't, too bad. I'm telling you the truth. The rest of these clowns, we expect them to lie. And we don't even get upset about it. We say, oh, yeah, it's a politician. Now, what did you say? Well, he lied to me about this, that, and the other. Oh, interesting. All right? We are so used to being lied to by politicians, it doesn't even offend us. We don't pay attention to it unless we see an honest candidate, or what may be an honest candidate, stand up and start telling the truth. And all of a sudden, the comparison, you know, it's like black and white. You know, we can say, oh, my God, look at that. The man's telling the truth. And it's not necessarily true that we agree with the truth he's telling, but at least he's telling it the way he sees it, not the way the party line is. He's telling it the way he sees it. Maybe he's wrong, maybe he's right, but at least we're getting some truth. So he's going to do well as long as he stays honest, I think. And then the worst thing that could happen to him is if you catch him in a significant lie. All right? Then he's going to have a problem. But if he can stay honest and stay in the campaign, I think he's going to do well. I think he's even going to be nominated. The Republican leadership won't like him, but the rank and file, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I think I agree. And, but while we're talking about campaign, folks, they're eliminating the Confederate flag in various places. You have Walmart, Sears, who said they wouldn't carry any Confederate flag merchandise.
I don't know what's going wrong. I don't know what's wrong with those people. Next thing you know, they won't even be selling white hoods for the
eBay.
Ku Klux Klan.
eBay said it was banning Confederate flag merchandise from their online auction. Hillary certainly made strong statements about pulling down the flag and so forth. However, you can still buy Hillary Clinton 2008 Arkansas Confederate flag pins and the Hillary Clinton 2008 Alabama Confederate flag pin. So, you know, the world has gone insane, Al.
I understand
insane.
That. You know, I agree with the idea. They're flying the Confederate flag or at some state capitals. All right. My understanding. I don't follow it closely, but it's my understanding. I'd say that's improper. All right. That war has been over a century. Confederacy's been gone for 150 years or thereabouts. We don't need to keep flying the Confederate flag at a state capital. But the Confederate flag is part of American history and a big part of American history. And there is a cultural phenomena that's associated with the Confederate flag. And whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it, it's like Indians, you know, bury my heart at Wounded Knee. They've got an opinion on what happened at Wounded Knee. Well, shall we get rid of it? Let's eliminate the book, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, and let's eliminate it. I'll talk about that. There'll be no more Indian paraphernalia sold at Walmart or someplace else because it's offensive to some people. Look, it's part of American history. It's part of our culture. And I think some of these outfits, Sears, eBay, Walmart, they're not going to sell any more Confederate paraphernalia. What's that got to do with anything? I mean, if I had a cigarette lighter that has a Confederate flag on it, what's that hurt? Does that do something wrong? This is a cultural artifact, right? In the same sense that we have cultural artifacts, what about we have these pretend wars every year between the North and the South, and people dress up in their gray uniforms for the South
Gettysburg.
And the North. Yeah, and they have these, and they get their flintlocks, and they play these war games. Shall we eliminate all of the Confederate soldiers from these war games? Shall we just pretend that there was never a Confederacy? I mean, some of this stuff is just nutty. Where it's officially involved on the Capitol, the grounds of the Capitol, yeah, I get that. All right, that, you know, it's time to let that go, maybe long past time. But should people be they can't find a place to buy a Confederate flag to fly from their truck or paste on the window of their truck or whatever. You know, some of this is just stupid. It's just stupid. These people are trying to rewrite history, and they're not just trying to help people. They're trying to the Confederate flag is offensive to most blacks. Although I saw some guy, he's black, minister. He's parading around with a Confederate flag and arguing that, he thinks it's a good thing. It's part of American heritage and it should be there. And I agree with him. You can't live your lives based on being politically correct. Where, oh, I can't fly a flag of this particular size, shape, dimension. Oh, I might hurt somebody's feelings. Oh, screw them. Get over it. You understand? The war ended 150 years ago. It's a fact. We don't need to continue to associate racism with it, for example.
Well, they compare the Confederate flag to the swastika.
Uh-huh. And they and the swastika, fine, let's eliminate the swastika. Only problem you've got is the swastika was found in Indian cultures centuries before Adolf Hitler was ever even born. Let's eliminate the swastika all over the world. Anybody who flies a swastika, let's drone them. All right, let's fire a drone and we'll kill them. Because in the name of peace, we're going to kill. Oh, my God. You know, some things are just so stupid that you just sit back and shake your head and you feel like Dr. Doolittle at times. You know, if I could talk to the animals, or, you know, if I could talk to the animals, only in this case, if I could talk to the idiots, and that's what the world seems to be increasingly populated by, or at least controlled by, idiots. Do they speak English? Do they feel a need to learn to speak English?
Well, we got a couple of minutes. We got about 4 minutes. Maybe we can take Jim from West Virginia in that time.
Hello, Jim.
Oh, hello. I can choose to be offended by the color of your shoestrings, if I so desire.
And then we'll have to do something about that, won't we?
Oh, this is insane. I've got several little points I'd like to string together real quick. I've been listening to shortwave since I was 10. This has to do with the media and lying. And back then, the New World Order didn't control most all of it. Now they do. So you get the same carbon footprint garbage. Anyway, and I can remember... I had the hardest time believing it, but some of the different lies. But one time we heard the commies were the big bad boy back then, and so we heard that their commies had burned down a church, a Christian church in Thailand or something, because they're trying to get the boogeyman going, right? And so my dad had access to a telephone system for carbide, so he waited till the evening, free telephone call, so he calls Thailand, or maybe it was Singapore. I didn't know Thailand from a Finland back then. Anyway, it never happened. But, you know, Walter Cronkite and his guys said it. Okay. Next is situation. I trusted our local media, Daily Mail and Gazette in Charleston, West Virginia. Last year of high school, last 2 weeks of high school, I told those guys I just got a scholarship to Purdue in our journalism, which I turned down. I was going to come back work with them. So a guy went through his little filing cabinet, showed me pictures, Polaroid pictures of the back of a 1906 voting machine. The jobby doos with the curtain came behind you to pull the lever down. And he said the letter of explanation how to get that thing to record the exact opposite of the lever you pulled on any race or all of them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now, do you want to hear the kicker? I said, yeah. Now, back then, you had to verify something like that, okay? It's classic rules of journalism and thrown out the door of it. So he said, Kanawha County wouldn't even let us look in the back of a voting machine, much less take pictures of it. He said, now, you want to hear the real kicker? I said, yeah, like this letter had been sent to him like 66 or 67. The people upstairs wouldn't let us run the story. The Kanawha County wouldn't let us look in the back of a voting machine. I'm going to tell you, two bubbles got busted in my face. One was faith in our local media, and the other was our voting. And I cried my way, I cussed my way out of the Daily Mail. I knew some of those guys because I used to take pictures and give them to them. And I cried myself to sleep that night. I got off the bus. Mom looked at me and said, there's something bad wrong. I said, yeah, I'll tell you tomorrow. So I was in shock. Just hurt too bad on top of everything else I'd learned. And the next day, I told her about it. And she said, you did know, didn't you, that the town criers of old, before there was broadcast or newspapers, the town criers of old had to answer to the king and the wealthy merchants. You did know that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, no, I didn't. But there's an unholy alliance between the media and politicians. If you ask the wrong question of the media of a politician, you will never get called on again. So just understand, this has been going on like forever.
Mm-hmm.
This lying on the part of the mainstream media, folks. It's innate to it. Well, I think I've kind of covered that subject a little bit too good, maybe.
Good thing, because we are now about 10 seconds until commercials, Jim.
God bless.
So,
God
thank
bless.
You for your call.
Bye-bye.
God bless. All right, we're going to take a break for some commercials, give you another story when we come back. Had to deal with 60 Minutes back a couple of years ago. And just along these lines, media manipulation and so on. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And I promised that I'd tell you something about, I was on 60 Minutes back a couple of years ago. I think it was 2011, if I recall correctly. I think it's 3 years now since I was there. I don't remember clearly. I was there. I was associated. I was interviewed. They flew down to interview me here in Texas. And they were hoping, I was hoping they'd give me a straight shot. And they were hoping to do a hatchet job on me, and it became apparent. I was optimistic going into it, and I thought they'd give me a straight shot. And after about 15 minutes, I'm a little slow on the uptake, but it was apparent. Yeah, they were gonna try to do a hatchet job, and it's easily done. I've been on media before. In one instance in particular, some woman interviewed me for an hour. I thought she believed everything I was saying. She cut and pasted little points out of the hour's interview. When they rebroadcast it later, it had me saying things that I would have sworn up and down you could not get me to say, and yet there I was saying things that were completely contrary to my own opinion. It was just bizarre. It was eerie. But if you talk long enough, and people, if you do it live, people know what you're talking about. If you do it recorded. They can hunt and pick and cherry pick out of that 1 hour, and they can pull up 2-3 minutes where you seem to be saying things completely contrary to your interest. So I was concerned it might happen with 60 minutes, but when we got down there, it became apparent that they were trying to discredit me and the sovereignty movement with which I'm associated, or at least, you know, at least I'm aware of it. I'm not a member per se, but I'm aware of it. Well, as we got into the program, Byron Pitts was in charge of conducting the interview, and we got to a point in the program where he and I just locked eyes. We're about halfway through the hour. Wasn't the program, through the interview. We're about halfway through the hour. We just locked eyes at one point. And he knew, and I knew, that he couldn't handle me. He was trying to get me to say things that were contrary to my interests, and I wasn't inviting. And he was very frustrated by that. But the idea behind was to discredit me, and to some degree they attempted to do so. It could have been worse. But the program that was aired about a month later, I was told by people who followed it that the comments were running 2-1 in my favor. I was afraid I was going to be, the hatchet job was going to come down, I was going to look like an idiot more so than I might otherwise, than I might normally do, and as it turned out, the public heard what I had to say, and they were running, the comments on the 60 Minutes website were running 2-1 in my favor, which, I don't know, long story, I guess, a short story long is what it comes down to, but they tried to get me, but they didn't, all right? And I think it was important in that particular instance that people came down 2-1 in my favor. I think it shows that under the right circumstances, you can take an idea that is politically incorrect, and despite media conditioning, propaganda, the rest of it, you can get up there and you can get to, it's just like Trump, right? Trump is trying to tell the truth, and people are responding to that, even if they don't like the truth. I get the impression they want to hear somebody, will somebody please treat me like an adult and tell me the truth? Trump's doing that. To some extent, I tried to do the same thing on the 60 Minutes interview, and it communicated. People got it. So the situation, I guess what I'm trying to get to is, this is not a hopeless situation, but it is a pervasive situation. And if you want to know what's really going on in this world and how it affects you, it is incumbent on you to do your own research and start finding sources that you think you can trust and getting rid of the sources that I'm pretty sure you can't trust. And then you start waiting to see, do we have a political candidate who's willing to tell the truth? I mean, in some regards, a man who tells the truth, even if I don't like what he thinks the truth is, we have to learn that I would rather vote for the guy who's telling the truth then vote for some guy who is a trained professional liar, who we can count on to tell us sweet, sweet lies. We've got to get rid of the liars and find people, even if we don't like the truth, got to start dealing with the truth. And we're going to. You know, everybody, we just don't know when. Truth is coming. All right, we're going to have that day when we all of a sudden find out, wait a second, you mean my bonds and my pension plan, all that, these paper debt instruments, they're not worth anything anymore? Yeah, buddy, that's the truth. We aren't going to like that truth. A lot of people are going to be deeply upset by it. But we're going to face it sooner or later. And not so long from now. Might be a couple of years. But it's still coming at us like a slow-moving freight train, and when it gets here, we're going to deal with the truth whether we like it or not. My suggestion is we start to deal with it now, just as if we were adults, and regardless whether we like it. Let's deal with it. Let's confront the truth. You know, with any problem, the key to any problem is proper diagnosis. You got to sit back. Got a problem? Okay, what is the cause? Let's diagnose the problem. Once you've diagnosed the problem, it's like brain surgery. The diagnosis is the key. Anybody can take a scalpel and cut some meat. That's not the problem. The question is, where do you cut? You need accurate diagnosis. The actual skill of cutting and pasting down there in the brain or whatever, that's, you know, not all that different from the guy who's working down at the meat market. It's not really all that different. It's a diagnosis. That's where the solution to the problem will be found or not found, and you can't diagnose if you're not going to deal with the truth, and that's where we are. We're caught in a world where we are so surrounded by lies, we can't get accurate diagnoses. So, anyway, I'm a nut for trying to find the truth, and I don't know that I've ever done it, but I've tried, you know? You can't just say that I or Trump or anyone else has found the truth. Right? I'm not speaking as if I'm giving you prophecy when I talk to you folks, but I am telling you what I think the truth is. I'm telling you what my truth is, as near as I can see it and understand it and honestly understand it. That's what we're trying to do, and that's all any of us can try to do. I give you my opinion of the truth, but my honest opinion, my sincere opinion of the truth. Other people you can talk to, they're going to give you an opinion also, but it's not an opinion that's intended to communicate the truth. It's intended to communicate a lie by means of which they can manipulate you and control you and compel you, entice you, persuade you to do something that's contrary to your own interests. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to say, here's what I think the truth is. You know, what do you think?
Almost, Al.
Almost what?
Oh, almost. But and I agree, but today I just wanted to bring this up too, that the Senate today voted to advance Obama's trade agenda, approving a measure to end the debate on the fast track authority. It was a 60-37 motion that set up a vote on final passage on Wednesday, and it should be sent to Obama's desk to become law. And so it's just
You can't keep a good liar down, Melody.
I guess not. 13 Democrats backed fast trade in Tuesday's vote, handing the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell a major legislative victory. Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland, he's a Democrat, voted against the procedural motion. It
he
did
must
not
be
include
independently wealthy. The other 13, their retirement is now assured.
The package did not include a workers' assistance program for people that were displaced by increased trade. The trade adjustment assistance, that was the TAA program. And of course, that was part of the fast-track package. It was approved by the Senate in May, but of course, that was a big opposition to the package among Democrats in the House. And so he's got just a little more power here. And but John Boehner, not to let anyone down, he said his pledge to vote again on TAA as soon as it clears the upper chamber. So they will consider it and pass. And so, you know, that's how they do it.
So the heat died down. We stopped them the first time around, and they just said, fine. The people have exhausted their energy, and now they won't do anything. Second time around, and that may be how they're planning this. You know, essentially the people putting up pressure on congressmen that didn't pass first time around. Well, they just wait. You folks go on out there and have a free lunch. It's on us. The government is buying, and we're going to take another vote here in a little while. And who knows? This time probably go through.
Yeah, it will. So that's all said and done. And, of course, with what happened in South Carolina is a huge distraction also. People don't pay attention there. They've been probably glued to the TVs and radio programs that talked about this 24/7 and the tragedy that it is. What I don't get, you have House GOP leaders are canceling scheduled Friday votes so that lawmakers can attend funeral services. And members
and get their pictures in the paper and be interviewed for TV.
So forget about what's going on in this country. And, you know, I understand having a silence, a moment of silence, but, you know,
the problem you've got here, part of this is it's at least presumed that the people of the country, the people of the world, they relate to these personal tragedies more intensely than they do to something like the price, the stock market's being manipulated. All right? We hear about the stock market's being manipulated, and we kind of wear, but what we relate to, and what we is, oh, here's nine coffins, and somebody did some shooting, and so on and so forth. It's part of human nature to be that way. I don't doubt that. But it is a shame that people don't see as much tragedy or more in high-speed, high-frequency trading in the stock markets. They can see it, nine people got shot, oh, that's a tragedy.
Well,
how many millions got robbed through high-frequency trading? And I'm not suggesting that we have to focus on money, but I'm just trying to say that people don't understand where the real threats to their lives are coming from. They can understand somebody shot some people. Okay, that's a problem everybody can relate to. But they don't understand that somebody else is designing computer algorithms that's going to rob, that will rob millions.
Billions.
No, millions of people and billions of dollars. But it's just, and I don't know whether people are really that ignorant, or we just assume they're that ignorant and we say, well, there's nothing we can do about this. You know, maybe they are. I know a lot of people are, but how many? What percentage understands that, yes, what happened in South Carolina is a terrible situation, but it wasn't the end of the world, and the high-speed computer trading, and that's just one example of a thousand that I could probably pull out. There are people that are wheeling and dealing, conniving, manipulating, maneuvering, deceiving, and lying, and they're getting away with it every day because they do it at a level that is over most people's heads, and they do it in a way that's complex and not easily perceived. And if we really want to protect this country, protect ourselves, we really have to start looking and paying attention to those high-level deceptions. They are more dangerous to us than individuals walking around with six guns or semi-automatics or rifles.
What I have a problem with, Al, is when these tragedies occur, is how they're being used to promote someone's somewhere's agenda. And they're not getting to the real issue of the problem. And these issues should be addressed. And are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
And so that's what
I... But the fly that I tried to smack is laying on the floor dead.
But the tragedies and these people's loss of their lives should not be,
exploited.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
That's what it is. Well, what this is just another one of Rahm Emanuel and Hillary Clinton's comments from several years ago.
Show true respect to these people.
It's a terrible thing to waste.
Show true.
This is a terrible thing to waste. Meaning, anything happens, let's figure a way to, you know, exploit it. And that's what really gets me about this. The people that are making the most noise about showing up for the funerals and going through all these little dances, they really have the least concern with the fact that nine people are dead. You know, they're just used, they say, oh, here's an angle, we can use this. I think the only people who should be allowed to talk about this and think about it, well, not think about it, but if there was a way where we could restrict all of the comments, maybe even including yours and mine, let's just listen to what the people who died or the relatives, see what they have to say, and the rest, stay out of it. Stop hustling. Stop trying to take advantage with false sympathy for, oh, my gosh. You know, I remember Bill Clinton. He went to somebody's funeral back when he was...
He started laughing.
Yeah, I know. He was laughing until he saw a camera watching him, and then all of a sudden he got a somber face on again. That's what we have in our politicians. That's who they really are. They'll play the game, but in private, they know it's a game, and they don't care about it. It's not sincere. It's just how many votes did you get? How much money did you make? You know, blah, blah, blah.
And I think by doing this, it just heats the whole problem even more so by trying to address the real problems that we have.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's they're creating a bigger problem.
I think that's exactly right, because when they take advantage of these kinds of tragedies and they exploit them, they're inevitably seducing us with lies. We may come to embrace those lies, we may incorporate them into the way we think, but eventually those lies are going to come back to haunt us. And the manipulators are going, the consequences of being subjects to their manipulation is we embrace ideas that are contrary to their own best interest, the best interest of this country, and you keep doing that, and sooner or later the whole thing goes down the pipe. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just want to give a recap of the markets today. We're just going to try to do this in this time of the program. Gold was down 840 today at 1178.50. We saw silver down 35 at 1592. Platinum was up 6 at 1,070, and palladium was up 2 at 700. And the paper markets today, the Dow was up 24 points at 18,144. The S&P was up 1 at 2124, and the NASDAQ was up 6 at 5160, 5,160. Al?
All right, we've got an article from Greece, which should come as no surprise. Greece will be on the news
again
sometime, and yes, they'll never be done.
No.
Here's the headline. Greece had no choice but to propose harsh reforms. I just hate it when politicians have no choice. I think that's so unfortunate. Greece's economic reform plan includes harsh measures the government would not have proposed had it had a choice. All right. These include multiple tax increases to persuade, and then these harsh measures are being used to persuade creditors to release bailout funds to keep the country from defaulting on its debts as soon as next week. Well, they go through this name, but they run the article. But it says, here's French finance minister Michel Sapin. On Tuesday says that they need one last push to finalize the bailout deal. Eurozone finance ministers are due to meet again on Wednesday evening ahead of a European leaders summit that starts on Thursday. Ah, now this is interesting to me. The finance ministers are the ones that Greece is dealing with right now to come up with a proposal that the finance ministers will agree to. But once they agree, and we can all sit back and say, yay, they have agreed, we have an agreement, yay. But wait, hold on for a second. The agreement has to be approved by a European leaders summit that starts on Thursday. So if we get the agreement approved by the ministers at this point, then must go through a second level of approval from European leaders, the European leaders summit starting on Thursday, which makes me wonder, what have we been doing for the last 6 months? They've been fussing at this without coming to a conclusion. Did they know all along that nobody's going to reach an agreement until the leaders show up, the European leaders, and they will be able to take credit for masterminding what is the final agreement? Is that kind of how this is working out? But we have two levels of approval here. One, the ministers, finance ministers that are here right now. Two, the European heads of state that are showing up starting on Thursday. And it goes deeper than that. It goes, once this deal is approved by Tsipras, Greek prime minister, and the European creditors and so on, they approve the deal, the leaders approve the deal, it's still got to get past the Greek parliament. They have to approve the deal. So now we have a third level of approval that's built into this process. And if they don't come to a sufficient agreement, it says, the article reads, and I think this is a misprint, but the article reads, Tsipras might face problems getting all of the government's lawmakers, which include members of a smaller nationalist party, to sign off on the deal when it is brought to parliament. The sentence implies that they need 100% of the Greek parliament to agree to support this, whatever the new bailout agreement might be, which will include multiple tax increases and so on. The probability. Now, if the sentence is correct, and I find that, I think you have to get two-thirds. Okay, I could go along. Three-quarters, I could believe that. 51%, I can believe that. All, it says, but Tsipras might face problems getting all of the government's lawmakers, which include members of a smaller nationalist party, to sign off on the deal when it's brought to parliament. Huh? That implies that even if the current ministers agree, and even if the European leaders agree, it still has to be agreed to by some or all of the Greek parliament. And if the Greek parliament doesn't approve, then what? Then it says right here, the only choice in this case would be a recourse to the Poles and to the Greek people. Which means there are potentially four levels of approval. There are at least three. We've got the current ministers. They've got to agree to come up with some kind of a deal that they submit to the European leaders, who agree to whatever the deal is, whatever the proposed deal may be. And the third is the Greek parliament still has to go along with the deal. And if they don't, then we go to the Greek people, who we know, high probability, they will reject any new austerity measures. So you look at this and you wonder, why has everyone been so excited about this Greek process for the past 6 months if there are at least three and maybe four levels of approval that are required? And even if we get past, the ministers say, yay, we have made a bailout agreement with Greece. If they say that tomorrow, so what? The agreement's still not good till the leaders agree. And the agreement with the leaders still isn't good until the Greek parliament agrees. And if they can't agree, then the agreement has to go to the Greek people, who will almost certainly reject it. So it seems certain that there's not going to be a sufficient agreement between now and the end of next week. Yeah, be the end of next week or thereabouts, in order to avoid a Greek default. You might get the ministers to agree. You might get the leaders to agree. Maybe. European leaders. But will you get the Greek parliament to agree within the next week or 10 days? That's at least doubtful. And if they don't, then the people, they vote. Then what? How long will that take? So I look at this and I just wonder, I don't know, it's like I've been persuaded to buy tickets to a baseball game that's not going to be played till Saturday. And I'm sitting in the bleachers on Tuesday and say, wait a second, you mean the game doesn't start till Saturday? No, that's right. I've got tickets in the bleachers and I'm here a couple of days early or a couple of weeks early. And I don't know, Melody. I feel jaded. I feel as if I was promised that pony for Christmas. And once again, got that Charlie Brown phenomenon. You know, Lucy holds the football and Charlie tries to kick it. Same thing. The Greeks have been holding the football. I've been trying to kick it. Turns out they're not even going to hold the football until a couple of weeks from now. So what does it all mean, Melody?
I don't know what it all means. You know, the drama just needs to go away. It's just, you know, they just, you know, just hammer it and hammer it until there's nothing left.
And it makes you wonder what's really going on right now. You know, it's like the magician. He uses one hand to distract your attention while he picks your pocket with the other hand. All right. It almost makes you wonder if you care to be, you know, somewhat cynical and skeptical and whatever, you can sit back, all right, if they're feeding us all this information on Greece, and there's at least three levels of approval before we get a deal, and maybe four, is this the best show they've got in town right now, Melody? Is this the best act, and they just need something to bread and circuses for the masses? Or, and this is our best circus act, or is this intended to distract us, where we don't pay attention to something that's really important? Is something really important happening right now, Melody?
I mean, that is a possibility. I mean, we certainly have various. I mean, even the shootings in South Carolina, I mean, they can be used as distractions. Greece can be used as distractions. I think they're just trying to do this with Greece as a lot is, while they all prepare to keep the things from being disturbed, so to speak.
It'll prevent us from being disturbed about something that's real rather than something that
and
really
the markets,
is that
the markets
big a deal.
Get used to it and it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Well, it,
you know,
maybe,
I mean, it just doesn't mean anything.
Maybe the markets are smart. Maybe
well,
the markets
after how
are
many
smart,
years, what does it
this
mean?
Is just a crock.
What does it mean after 4 or 5 years of talking, you know, of Greece coming undone? I mean, I think a lot of Europe has problems. Italy, we know, has problems. France has problems. Spain, mainly Spain and Italy, are the two that have bigger problems than France. But none of them are doing well. So, I mean, they're getting the same stimulus, the quantitative easing, and all that is not discussed. I mean, no one discusses the real issues of what is going on. And you're right. Everyone is focused on Greece. You know, they're focused on Greece. The markets are focused on Greece. They have, you know, these announcers and so forth in Greece. I mean, it's like, you know,
yeah, you wonder. I don't know. Is there anything
it does
really
make
happening?
You wonder? But yet we know the depth of we know the Deutsche Bank, the connections, the bonds, the derivatives. We get that. So what is next now? I mean, what is the next thing? You know, you have all these four groups of folks to agree on something, and then the people can riot because they're not going to. They don't
yeah,
want
know.
Their pensions to go away, and that's just it. They're not cutting anything. You know,
Which puts us back to the same position. Greece has defaulted long ago on its debt. They cut their debt in half back about 3 years ago. Two, 3 years ago, the debt was cut in half. All the creditors had to take a 50, what is it, 53% haircut back then. They just wrote off half the debt. Now they're just fighting about the remainder of the debt. They're not going to get paid. They weren't paid. Greece, and they say, oh, we'll prevent a Greek default. Greece has defaulted years ago. They have been legally, technically bankrupt for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years probably, the government of Greece. And everyone has run this dog and pony show to prevent that truth from not only being known, but faced. Government sits back and says, as long as Greece is bankrupt, Greece has admitted it's bankrupt, and the governments or the creditors are saying, oh, no, you're not. You're not bankrupt. Come on. We're going to create an illusion that you're not bankrupt. This is like a weekend at Bernie's. You understand? Remember the movie where they find the two kids that are marching the corpse of Bernie around and pretending that he's alive? This is the same thing. Weekend at Athens. They're trying to march the Greek corpse around and pretend that it's alive and it's not bankrupt. It is. It's bankrupt. It makes for a great comedy, but in the end, why? Why can't we just get to the truth of the matter? And the answer is because there's more money in the lives than there is in the truth. That's really what it comes down to. And as long as that remains the case, people want to get their money and they're prepared to lie like rugs in order to get it. And rather than admit that the creditors were stupid to lend all that money to Greece in the first place, they're complicit in this. This isn't just Greece overspending and Greece being irresponsible. The lenders, they were irresponsible to give Greece so much money in the first place. It was like handing a fire gun to an 8-year-old boy. This is not a good idea. Give a loaded firearm to an 8-year-old boy. Not a good choice. Not your best choice. All right? Creditors did that with Greece, and now they're trying to hold the boy responsible for pulling the trigger. Why not just everybody say, look, you guys were stupid. That means you lose your money. All right? You go explain to whoever it is you got to explain to that you were stupid. And rather than having the people responsible, the creditors that are responsible, admit they were stupid, they're admitting, no, we weren't. We weren't stupid. We're going to march Greece around like Bernie on the weekend at Bernie. We're going to keep them alive. We're going to maintain the illusion rather than take responsibility. I'm going to sit back here and kind of sneer. And I'm just, oh, my gosh, these people. And wonder, how long can it continue? That's the big question. How long can the lies continue? How long before we've all got to face the truth? I don't know, Melody. Got any ideas?
Well, every day we have to face the truth. But
some of us do and some of us don't. People are getting fabulously wealthy are the ones that are probably denying the truth. Those of us who are facing the truth are having a more difficult time trying to get wealthy. There's more money in lies. That's the truth of the matter. All right? That's unfortunate, but that's the truth of the matter. There's more money in lies, at least until the whole thing blows up in your face, kind of like it did for Bernie Madoff. He made big money lying. Keep those lies rolling. All right? You can make big money until you get to the point where, you wind up spending the rest of your life in the slammer. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. Money in a rich man's world. Money, money, money.